Welcome back to the Partnerships with Purpose podcast, where we explore ways to engage communities in research and other academic projects. I'm Jamie Masterson, and in this podcast, Why the Comprehensive Plan, I talked with Kara Escajeda, the city manager of Nolanville. So back in 2014, this small community worked with Texas Target Communities and four graduate planning classes to develop a comprehensive plan, which is basically the city's master plan, which documents the community's vision and actions to improve things like economic development, housing, community facilities, infrastructure, and other land use decisions. Let's listen to our conversation.
So when you came on as city manager, and like you said, it was the end of our planning process, and then you had this comprehensive plan. You had this at the end of it. There's this implementation table of actions. I guess I'm curious how did y'all use it? What was the benefits of that?
That's easy because I feel like that's where the magic happened because those objectives were arranged and organized in a way that was very familiar to me. It was almost like military in a way where it was just like objective and task. So I was very familiar with that kind of concept. And so thankfully there was enough detail in there to like clue me in to where I needed to look for grants and for what areas that they would benefit the city most. And so that was huge. The other thing that turned out to be huge, and we work with grant development services to develop these applications for the grants. And so as we're going along and doing different grants, it was very apparent how instrumental the entire document was, because when you guys came in for the task force meetings, you documented all of the public input. And many of these grants, that's a requirement. You have to show that you've talked about these ideas and that the community is bought into them. And so at the front of that comprehensive plan, I had, okay, we met at these dates. This is who was here. This is what they said. Mm-hmm. And so like a CDBG application, you have to publish something in the newspaper that says, like, we're having public meetings on this topic at these dates, and you have to have that proof in order to submit for an application. The same holds true for like a Texas Parks and Wildlife application, although they changed their rules this year a little bit, but I bet that the same premise holds, is that they're going to look for what's considered like a park master plan. And that can very simply be the chapter that you guys provided in our comprehensive plan, which outlines the community's top 10 needs, So that comprehensive plan has provided a wealth of amenities that the city now enjoys, and really thankful for it.
So it sounds like, from what you're saying, like the documentation of the participation. So first of all, the community participation was key, then documenting that community participation, and then making it action oriented. So that way you could go after grants and move toward implementing and putting into place many of these ideas that community members had.
Yeah, so, and that's exactly it. And while I'm talking about that, I think this is very important, is like when you're doing a trail project or a road project, they want to see that it's reflected in a longstanding plan, not just something that you just dreamed up and submitted an application for.
Right.
So like having a segment of road, that's called this is a future safe route to school in your plan, or this is a trail system that's going to link to a larger regional trail. That's huge. They want to see that, and they want to see that it's in a document and not just something that you're saying Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. How much, you know, how much have y'all received in grants since then?
Yeah. I don't even know where we're at now, but I think it's like, and it might not sound large to a different community, but considering when I first got here, the annual budget was under $1 million. Over the course of this comprehensive plan, we've easily received in $3 million in grant funding. And then the projects themselves are a little larger than that because there's usually a match associated with them. So mm-hmm. I think, but larger than that, just attributing like what we've gained from it outside of just the money is, we didn't have, well, we had a 10-acre city park that was like basically just, it was, I don't know how to describe it. It was just like a piece of land that didn't do anything done with it pretty much. And through a sequence of grant funding, we now have a multi-use center that the Boys and Girls Club operates a free after-school program. Mm-hmm. We have a splash pad and renovated playground, multi-use sports field that has a track around it and exercise stations for it's geared towards like 50 and older. Mm-hmm. So, and then there's a dog park in the corner and a community garden. And that was all possible because we had a plan.
Yeah. And none of that, I mean, I remember when we first went down, was it Mesquite Street? And it just felt like a dead end, you know, and there was not, I think there was some old equipment from, you could tell like the 50s or something like that.
Peter Totter, which were endearing, but like very empty.
Yeah. And I remember the police chief saying that it was also, you know, because it was kind of a dead end, a place for, you know, crime and other kind of stuff going on. But
yeah. And so, and also there was, as you mentioned, it's a dead end for like an area town that was historically zoned, right, as a mobile home park. Mm-hmm. And so they had only one way in and one way out of their community. Mm-hmm. And so the plan also identified a way to like connect it to an adjacent neighborhood so that both of them had, you know, alternate routes of egress.
Right. And that area, I think you also repaved roads and dealt with drainage in that mobile home park.
I think we're still dealing with that because that's a multi-million dollar mm-hmm. project, but we're just chipping away with it. It's still, again, like this year, we helped the water department, who's like a politically separate subdivision. We submitted an application to the CDBG on their behalf so that we can start upgrading the last part of their wastewater. And then we'll move on to the drinking water. And then again, incrementally, we've just been replacing the side streets. And currently, we're working on our complete street project through a TxDOT livability grant that will put bike lanes and sidewalks leading all the way up to the park. So it'll benefit not just that former mobile home community, but the whole neighborhood because they'll be able to access it by walking or biking.
Yeah. That was really a great summary of the impact a comprehensive plan can have on a community, especially a small community like Nolanville. And they really built that momentum to do more projects in the community. And we're going to hear more from Kara about that in our next episode. Would you like to support small, low-capacity communities like Nolanville? Consider donating to our Good Neighbor Fund. And if you'd like to learn more about our program, follow us on Instagram at TAMUTXTC. Check out our website, collaborations.tamu.edu/TXTC, or email us at texastargetcommunities@tamu.edu. See you next time.